Well, the Fed's chair, Jerome Powell, has suggested that the central bank could cut interest rates this month. That's as the U.S. economy continues to face downside risks, including the trade war, as well as sluggish inflation. And on the back of Powell's testimony, we've seen U.S. markets strengthen and the local unit rise by nearly 1% against the dollar. Joining me to make sense of it all from an emerging markets perspective is Per Hammarlund from SEB. Thanks so much, Per, for your time this evening. So emerging market currencies were caught in a pretty tight trading range, but looking at the kind of moves that have been triggered post that address and dictated by the tone that was struck by the Fed chair, I guess pretty much expected, right?
Right. EM is benefiting strongly from the dovish Fed message. It's clear that it's very good for risk appetite, and we've seen EM currencies in particular gaining on the back of it. However, I'm a little bit concerned because if, given that the reason for the Fed to cut is concerns about U.S. growth and concerns about the U.S.-China trade war, those are all negative for emerging markets. I think if we see projected earnings for U.S. companies go down, that so that we see stocks in the U.S. Suffer, I think risk appetite will also eventually be hit. And that can, in the long run, be negative for EM assets and EM currencies in particular.
So with that, a more holistic view of what's actually happening right now, it's not quite clear how emerging market currencies or markets for that matter have priced in these rate cuts. So what's your take on what's being priced in on the emerging market scene?
In the short term, I think they haven't fully priced in a rate cut by the U.S. The rate cuts right now, they are contributing strongly to an improvement in risk appetite, and with that happening, then EM assets will rally. They have rallied some over the last month or so, but I think there's still more legs in the rally. However, as I mentioned, in the more medium to long term, this is bad news.
You mentioned some of the broader international themes that pose significant risk to the kind of inflows we've seen into risky developing world assets. Let's get into some of the potential domestic risks as well, whether you're looking at a Mexico, a Turkey, a South Africa for that matter. I mean, we've had the Mexican peso extend its slide after its finance minister exited, citing extremism in economic policy. But that reaction relatively muted, given the kind of risks that are involved. Pair, are domestic risks just sitting in the background?
Yes, I think most of the time in emerging markets, domestic risks are in the background, except when they reach fever pitch like they did last year in Turkey, for example. But I wouldn't say that they're that muted in the terms of Mexico this time around. It's one of the few currencies that have actually weakened against the dollar today, despite the broad rally in the EM assets. And I think investors are genuinely worried about slippage in fiscal policy in Mexico after the resignation of the finance minister. I'm not that concerned because the fiscal discipline is driven by AMLO, the president. And he's not going to give up on this commitment anytime soon. So I think to some extent the markets are overreacting a little bit, but there you go.
Does the sentiment you hold there extend through to Turkey? Because you mentioned the pressure that market's been under and you cited last year. But I mean, just this week, the lira extended its losses as investors started to fret about political interference in Turkey's monetary policy as well. How confident are you that the scales will be balanced on that end too?
I'm a little bit more negative on Turkey and the Turkish lira. Contrary to the reaction in the Mexican peso to the resignation of the finance minister, markets hardly reacted to the dismissal of the central bank governor Çetinkaya. I think it spells trouble for Turkey down the line. We're now faced with a situation where Erdogan pretty much can dictate monetary policy, and he has indicated quite clearly that he wants everybody to get on board with lower interest rates. He thinks that he also wants people to get on board with the view that high interest rates actually causes inflation, which goes contrary to economic theory, of course.
Of course, Per, South Africa has its fair share of challenges as well. But I've got to ask, to what extent, what's playing out in other emerging markets leaves South Africa standing as the least of the ugly sisters at this point?
Well, I think South Africa still has the benefit of the doubt. There's, from an international perspective, I think investors are worried that whether Ramaphosa will be able to join the ANC behind an economic reform program, or if he have to yield too much to other forces within the party. Today, I guess, the RAND has gotten a specific boost from the reappointment of Hanyaho as a central bank governor.
But in
terms of the broader themes for emerging markets, I think China will be more and more important. It's going to be, we haven't really focused on the Chinese growth over the last couple of weeks, but it will come back as a major driver of emerging markets in the coming months.
For now, though, let's leave it there, Per. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, the Chief Emerging Market Strategist at SEB, Per Hammarlund.